everybody. It's Linda Laurel. Thank you so much for joining us for a new season of Our Voices Matter. Today, we are launching a new series called Our Voices Matter Across the Generations. And if you are watching us, you can see that I've got my daughter, Lindsay Laurel Gregory, sitting right next to me. As we are recording this today, it is the 2-year anniversary of January 6th. And I just finished watching President Biden award medals to all of the heroes who really protected our democracy that day. It was very emotional. I was fighting back tears the whole time, and it really made me stop and think about where I was. I was in this very room in my office watching it unfold on TV 2 years ago and thinking about the aftermath of it and what it meant for our country and what it means for our future. So my daughter, Lindsay, is back home with us here in Houston for a while, and I am enjoying every single moment of having her here. And during this time, we are having some really, really wonderful conversations. And that's what sparked the idea of doing this series called Across the Generations. So over the next several weeks and months, I'm going to be talking with young people of Lindsay's age. Lindsay's 28. So we're going to be talking to millennials, to those from the Gen Z generation, from Gen X, and I'm a boomer. Okay. So a lot of the conversations that we've had thus far, many of them are with people of my generation. And I want to find out what is going on in the minds of our young people, because, you know, it's so cliche to say that they are our future, but it's true. And I know that we have a lot to learn from them. I've learned so much from Lindsay from the short time that she's been back in the house with us, where we've been able to literally have ongoing conversations about every aspect of life. So I'm going to stop talking now. Well, not really, but.
Okay. Time for a monologue.
My monologue is over. But it is now time for me to bring Lindsay into the conversation and ask you, first of all, why you agreed to do this and why you think it's a good idea.
Why I agreed to come on the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, for one, you're my mother. And aside from that, forever indebted to you. Mm. But I agree that there are a lot of things that, there's a lot of disconnect between different generations, but specifically boomers and millennials and Gen Z. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be useful to kind of talk about some of the issues, some of the things that are going on in each other's minds, to just kind of understand and get to know each other better.
Yeah.
The ways that we work and whatnot.
I love it. Okay. So what would you say is one of the most important things that people of my generation don't get about people from your generation and younger, millennials, Gen Z? It's what don't we get? What are we missing?
That's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fire away. I'm ready. Go ahead.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just the fact that that boomers usually think that we don't want to work and we're lazy and we just want things handed to us and we don't want to like work hard for things. And that's especially true. Like, I don't think you're a special case, but
thank you. But no, I want you to speak honestly and not just from, you know, from how you feel, but your friends say, and I know you don't want to generalize.
I don't want to badmouth anybody.
I get it. But this is, you know, this is, we're trying to have some real talk here. So I want to know what you and your friends think about us and what we're not getting.
I mean, social media, obviously, like there's definitely a learning curve with social media and technology in general for a lot of older people. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, understanding how you can make so much money on social media, how you can make so much money in like in different technological avenues in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like they don't understand that, and they don't understand how we are trying to work smarter and not harder. Because I feel like everyone in your generation and above was just grind to make the money. But we're like, we don't want to grind. We want to enjoy our lives while also making money. So let's try to figure out a way to not work as hard and get the same rewards, if not more.
Mm. So you work remotely, which a lot of, oh God, see, this is part of getting older. We're on the floor and I'm trying to find the most comfortable position. So those of you who are not watching, let me just tell you, I just changed positions here. So, okay. So a lot of people of your generation are working remotely. Part of this is due to the pandemic, but it's also just part of just the general idea. And like you were saying, you want to work more, you want to work smarter and more efficiently and not feel like you're just grinding away all the time.
Yeah.
So where do you see the workforce going? I mean, when you talk with your friends about what you want your lives to look like over the next 10 to 20 years, mm-hmm. as far as work goes, tell me what those conversations are like.
I mean, especially since COVID happened, obviously people are working from home now more than ever. And mm-hmm. I think it's just going to continue to mm-hmm. be like that. I saw something the other day. What was it? It was, I forget exactly what it was, but it was a company that was giving their employees some sort of benefits. I think they're saying that they can now have like every other Friday off or something, or like a mandatory, like 4 days off a month or something like that. Mm. I think companies are really starting to understand how important work-life balance is. And if you work your employees to the bone, they're just going to leave. They're mm-hmm. going to leave and they're going to find somewhere else that's going to cherish them. Mm-hmm. Like they should be mm-hmm. cherished. And that's mostly what we've talked about. But like, I think overall, if your job can be done from home, obviously there are jobs where you need to go in the office, and obviously there's pros and cons to both.
And Layla's making an appearance. Layla is Lindsay's dog. Okay, Layla. Thank you, sweetie. We're so glad you made that cameo. Okay, go ahead.
I'm worried about that. She stood up. I was like, oh no. Oh,
here we go.
Okay. If you can work from home, let me rephrase this. There are pros and cons to being in the office mm-hmm. and working from home. Mm-hmm. And
Layla's licking my face now. Thank you, sweet girl. I love you too. Okay. Layla's my intern, but now you need to sit down.
Okay, can you sit?
Now you need to sit down. Sit down, sweet girl. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
It was either this or she was going to be barking.
Right, exactly. So better that she's here licking my face and barking. Okay.
I'm having a hard time articulating this because I go back and forth on it because mm-hmm. I've been working from home since before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily full time at that point, but I went into the office like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is there are pros to going into the office like once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that you can have that interaction. So you can, you know, talk to your team members and make, you know, still keep face, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But then at the same time, working from home is just, there's just such an advantage to it.
Yeah.
But overall, I believe that, you know, moving forward, it's going to be a lot less. You have to come into the office.
Yeah.
5 days a week, mm-hmm, at least, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I watch you do the work that you do, you know, literally, you know, from the house, and you're a hard worker and you stay, you know, really focused on what you do. And I'm just thinking about the first point that you made, which is that so many people of my generation, you know, are under the impression that you guys don't really want to do the work. And that's just not true. You're just mm-hmm. looking at things a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, one of the questions that I asked you recently when we were just hanging out in the kitchen, you know, I said, tell me what you want your life to look like, you know, over the next 10 to 20 years. So when I was your age, the world was not quite as crazy and chaotic as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say this. When I was 28, I wasn't worried about the future of our democracy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worried about the future of our planet. I wasn't worried about some of the existential things that I believe people of your generation are very concerned about, mm-hmm. because you're inheriting these problems that we, my generation, has created. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a bunch of questions in here, but I guess the first one is, what are you most concerned about when you think about your future?
Probably the planet, I think, first and foremost, because I guess for me specifically, I'm not really worried about not like having a place to live or being, you know, mm-hmm. being able to provide for myself. And mm-hmm. obviously interest rates and like inflation are troublesome as well. But, that's also part of, you know, economy. I honestly would say the planet, because it's probably the main thing that it's within our control, but it's also not in our control.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like there's already so much damage that's been done that we're going to have to do so, so much to bring it back. Mm-hmm. You know?
Does it make you angry?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not happy about it. Mm-hmm. and it's, I guess not so much that it's not in our control, but more so, you know, with the economy, people are focused on that. You know, our government's focused on that. Our like officials are focused on that. But when it comes to climate change, we're like screaming at the top of our lungs and still nobody wants to listen.
Right.
And they're still deforestation.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And you know, getting rid of so much of the Earth's natural
resources.
It's yeah. just, it is maddening. That is maddening.
If, you know, you just said that your generation has been screaming at the top of your lungs for quite some time and that nothing has happened. If you could have a conversation with the decision makers, such as they are, that's a whole nother conversation, which we'll have, but the politicians and the leaders who are making the decisions that will impact your future and the future of your children, my grandchildren, what would you say to them?
I mean, I would just ask that they put themselves in our shoes. Think about, like you said, their children, their grandchildren, and think about the kind of world that they would want to leave for them. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like go outside and look around, you know, look at how beautiful the planet is, and then realize, do some research, because I'm sure a lot of them have not really looked into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an expert on it myself by any means, but do some research and look at how drastically things have changed over the last even like 20 years, yeah. 20 to 30 years, mm-hmm. how drastically the climate has changed and how we're in trouble, mm-hmm. you know, if we don't start doing something about it at a global level.
We're almost out of time. I mean, yeah, you really honestly just have like less than 10 years to really turn it around. I saw a report earlier this week and I wish I could remember over what period of time that they said, but literally, like I'm sitting here, as we're sitting here right now, and I'm looking out the window of our home and I can see trees, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, look at the landscape as you see it right now and picture that in X number of years, I forgot what the number is, that 3/4 of what you're looking at will be gone. That is mind blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about that, it's like, you know,
yeah,
holy shit. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things that, you know, that you brought to our home years ago was recycling. I remember when you said to us, yeah, you did. You might not even remember. I think you were like in middle school or something. And you're like, Mom and Dad, we need to be recycling. Hmm. We need to be recycling. And we kind of half-heartedly got behind it. Now we really recycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really do.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot, I said a moment ago that I'm learning so much from you during this time that we have together when you're, you know, you're back home with us for a bit. And, you know, you introduced me to more natural ways of cleaning and not looking at, you know, cleaning supplies that are filled with toxins and that are doing things to the environment and that are also bad for our health, by the way. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking about that. And you've introduced me to a whole new way of looking at and thinking about the planet and our health. And thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. Okay. I want to get back for a moment to what I said at the beginning when we first started talking, which is that today's the anniversary of January 6th, right? And I would like to ask you what you were thinking. We were not together on that day. You were still living in Dallas at the time. What were you thinking when all of that was happening?
I mean, it's devastating, obviously, and our democracy is important and it needs to be upheld. And there's no words. There's nothing good could have come out of that, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I hope that people understand what happened and don't ever try to replicate it ever again. And
what kinds of conversations have you and your friends had about maybe January 6th specifically, if you have had conversations about that, but just about the state of our democracy and the future that you want and hope to have for yourselves as it relates to just that piece?
I mean, it's a little bit all over the place, honestly. I think just realizing that there's so much corruption is hard to grasp. And so we talk about that a lot, and we talk about like,
I know you're choosing your words carefully because I know you don't want to get into the nitty gritty of politics. Yeah. This is one of the things that she said to me. She's like, Mom, I'm down for all of this, but I really don't want to talk specifically about politics, you know, in terms of her political persuasion, et cetera. And I get that. I really do. So I know that you have friends who have beliefs for both parties. Okay. You have friends who support both parties, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Okay. So how are you navigating that and those kinds of conversations, knowing that you have friends who are both Democrats, Republicans, and independents, in this very tumultuous, divisive time that we're living in? How have your conversations changed?
Or if they have? Honestly, you're not going to like my answer.
Okay.
It
doesn't matter if I like it or not. I want to know what your real answer is.
Okay. Well, I might get some crap for this, but I don't talk to my friends about it. Like I do, whatever. Okay. I don't really talk to my Republican friends about politics. My Democratic friends are a lot louder about politics. And so I talk to them about it and we go back and forth on things, but like my close friends who are Republicans, I just like don't bring it up because I don't think that it would be, I've always disliked politics, talking about politics, which obviously is not an excuse, nor is it something that I can escape at this point. Mm-hmm. But every time I have in the past, it's been uncomfortable and it's been, you know, not necessarily productive. So I think it's just kind of a mutual understanding. Like, we're just not going to touch on this topic in our friendship.
So in other words, you guys know what each other believes in terms of politics mm-hmm. and policy. Mm-hmm. And you choose not to have the conversation because you want to make sure that the friendship stays intact. Is that fair to say? Or
I mean, not just to make sure it stays intact, but just because it's like, we know we don't we disagree on this and that we're not, you know, it's just, we're not going to have a productive conversation if we talk about this.
Hmm. Very interesting. And when I think back to, again, being your age, I don't think my friends and I don't remember really having a lot of political discussions along the same lines. So why did you say that you thought I wouldn't like your answer?
Because because I feel like you and Dad would say you need to have these kinds of conversations with people who don't think the same way that you do. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you might learn something and they might learn something, which I agree with, mm-hmm. but, and there are some people that actually, no, I have had conversations with some people who have disagreements with my views. But there are some of my very close friends that it just doesn't ever come up. And I'm like, I don't want to touch it.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I guess it just depends on the person. I don't know.
It's interesting because in the abstract, it is easy for me as your mom or as the host of this podcast, which I say all the time, that the whole reason that I even started this podcast is because I want people who are watching and listening who might look at Lindsay and Linda as the other, because we're Black women. Okay. So we're the other for a large group of people out there. And also maybe because of our political views or whatever. But there are things about us that, I think you could relate to, because there are certain similarities that we have in terms of what we want out of life and how we live our lives and the way we love our families and, you know, how we support our communities and all of that sort of thing. So even though we might not agree politically and we might not be of the same faith or the same race or ethnicity, there are things that we have in common. And that's the reason that I started this, is that I wanted people who might think of me and or my guests as the other to see some of themselves in these conversations. That being said, I understand the difficulty and the uncomfortableness of having those kinds of really hard conversations. You mm-hmm. mentioned your dad, and I have to say, he is like he's like the epitome for me of someone who isn't afraid to have those tough conversations. He has friends who are the complete opposite of him politically. And I listen to him on the phone, taking it right to them, literally.
Yeah.
Having the conversation, sometimes with voices raised, but then at the end of the conversation, love you, man. And see, that's where I think that we all need to strive to get to, mm-hmm. is to not be afraid to have the tough conversation, understand that we don't agree and that's okay, but it doesn't mean that we can't love each other as human beings and still remain friends. It's not an easy thing to do. So I get it. I understand why you might not want to go there.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't even know if I've said this out loud to you, but like, I don't see myself as a Democrat or a Republican, honestly. I'm a moderate. I'm like a straight down the middle.
An independent.
I really am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's issues with both parties, and there's issues with, you know, mm-hmm. both sides of the coin, mm-hmm. anything you have in life, but mm-hmm. I consider myself a moderate.
So let's talk about race just for a minute.
You're really just
going for it, Mom.
Jesus.
Okay. So I remember after after George Floyd's brutal murder and all of the everything that came after that, including a lot of the frank conversations that were happening. You posted something on Instagram that, are you okay? You okay?
What?
Okay. You look like you were.
No, I'm okay. Just, I'm just,
you're just thinking. Okay. All right. But you posted something on Instagram that surprised me. So I'm going to ask you to just kind of share with our listeners and viewers a little bit about that post and why you posted what you did.
I haven't read it in a really long time. It basically was just a post about how I've been the token Black girl for my whole life. And how it's affected me, I guess. And then some ways to be more of an ally in the race war. Honestly. Okay.
So the post was, I don't want to say directed at your white friends, but it was.
Can I pull it up?
Yeah.
I remember.
Sure.
Honestly. I mean, it was.
And I remember reading it and, you know, first of all, I was really proud of you.
Well, first of all, I asked you to proofread it, if you remember, before
actually,
I've
forgotten
it.
That.
I was so surprised when you posted it. I was like, I told you I was posting this.
I forgot.
It was a long time ago.
I had forgotten that you had asked me to proofread it. But still, the fact that you had written it and that you wanted to put it out there.
Well, it's because all of this stuff was happening, and I, again, don't like politics, and I don't like to discuss, like, I never have. But I felt like I needed to say something with all the BLM stuff happening, just because I am a lot of my white friends' only Black friend. Mm. And I felt like I was doing a disservice to myself and my own race by just like staying silent and not saying anything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I just felt the need to do that.
Yeah. So is there... You're looking at the post now. You just pulled it up.
Yes. It's about a bunch of microaggressions. So it's about like my journey as a token Black friend and microaggressions that I've experienced, microaggressions that myself, I have said and done towards myself or other people. And then we need to have open conversations about race. And
so what has been, or what was the reaction to your post from your white friends specifically?
Support, just a lot of support and love. And I had people reaching out to me that I hadn't spoken to since college. Like, and I, for reference, this was in 2020 when I posted this, and I graduated in 2016. I had people texting me, people DMing me.
And what were they saying?
Just like, I'm so proud of you. Like, this is so great. You're very strong. Like, I love you. I'm here to support you. Things like that. But, it was very eye-opening, and it was also nice to see that everyone's kind of thinking the same thing, even if not everyone is saying it. Mm-hmm. And to know that I have like support and whatnot. I had a lot of surprising people reach out to me too, where I was like, oh, okay, that's really, like, you know, really nice of this person to reach out to me. And people that I think of differently now because of how they reacted to it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do you think they think of you differently because you said what you said?
Probably. Yeah.
Did it change any of your relationships?
I don't think so. No, not really. Mm-hmm. I've always been pretty open about it. Like it's nothing I've ever like skirted under the rug. If anything, it's something I've joked about for my entire life. Mm-hmm. But it didn't like affect any of my friendships in any way, really.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So how are you feeling about, you know, that was 2 years ago and there was so much,
almost three.
Yeah, really. Almost 3 years ago. Gosh. I remember that time too. And I remember posting something, actually on the podcast, that said, this feels different. You know, this time it feels different. Meaning that this time it feels like we're really having the conversation that we need to have. Mm-hmm. And that for so many years we've skirted around and not really had. And I was really hopeful that it might lead to more understanding, more healing, et cetera. And I think to some degree it has, but I think it's also backed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you having any different thoughts or feelings about the topic now, 2.5, almost 3 years later?
I mean, there's obviously still a lot of racism.
Yeah, there is.
Sorry, my butt's asleep.
thank you for sharing that.
Sorry, listeners. Hope that gave you a chuckle. I mean, there's obviously still a lot of racism and, I feel like the racists are more out than ever these days, which is kind of scary. Like they're just kind of running around telling everyone that they hate X race. But I feel like overall we're still talking about it more, which is good. Mm-hmm. And people are quick to denounce and defend themselves or their friends and family against the like outward racists, mm-hmm. which is also good.
Do you ever feel afraid when you're out?
No, honestly. And that's, I mean, I'm privileged. I'm a privileged fuck. Woman. And I know that I've known that my whole life. I've never really felt, I mean, I've definitely obviously had, you know, things said to me and whatnot, but I've never felt like I'm in danger. Mm-hmm. So I'll say this after the shooting, what was his name? The runner, the black runner.
Ahmaud Arbery.
Yes, Ahmaud.
Yes.
After that, I remember going on runs and feeling just like uneasy. Mm-hmm. And like, I think one time shortly after, I like cried while I was running. Cause I was just like, this is, am I allowed to cuss?
Yes.
Okay. This is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And feeling a little bit unsafe in that regard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about your future, and I know someday you hope to have children. And
no, I will have children.
Yes, someday you will have children. Thank you. Of course. Someday you will have children. And regardless of the race of the person that you marry, your child, your children will be thought of as black because you're black. Mm-hmm. So do you think at all about what that means and how you will raise them in this society that we live in?
A little bit. Yes. I haven't spent a considerable amount of time thinking about that because I'm very single, but I've mostly thought about if I were to have a black boy. I think I've thought about that more than having a girl. Cause I think being a black woman, I can figure it out. Obviously I have you and obviously I have dad to help with the boy, but it's a whole different animal. But yeah, I've mostly just thought about how I would raise a black boy, so that he keeps himself safe. And I obviously there's been violence against Black women as well. And I don't want to discredit that. But more often than not, it is Black men, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk now about the media, because you grew up with a mom in the media, and, the media landscape has changed considerably over the 30 years that since I started in media. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about it, and how do you get your news? That's another loaded question.
You should have given me a list of things that we were going to talk about today. I'm trying not to get canceled. Okay.
You're not going to get canceled.
I'm not even a person who could get canceled. I have like 900 followers on Instagram. I'm fine. I don't watch the news. Haven't for a very long time. I think it's very negative. I watched the news when you were on it. It wasn't as negative back then, honestly. I mean, it was, but like,
yeah. It was
more feel good.
Yeah,
in a way.
It was a very different time.
Yeah.
So I was on the air here in Houston from 1989 to 2006, and so just for reference for those of you who are listening and watching, and I can attest to the fact that she does not watch the news because I'm a news hound, and so is her dad. So anytime we have news on and Lindsay walks into the kitchen, it's like, can we change the channel, please? But that's not to say that you are not staying aware and keeping abreast of what is happening in the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the other part of my question is, where do you get your news? How do you consume news?
BuzzFeed. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. But actually I'm like half kidding. I get news alerts on my phone from a select few, including BuzzFeed, of select few outlets.
Care to share?
No.
Okay.
BuzzFeed, the rest are up to your imagination.
Okay. All right.
And also I follow some like accounts on Instagram that keep me up to date with, you know, what's kind of going on in the world. My friends and I just like, we send each other, like whenever something's happening, we'll send each other articles and things. That's pretty much it.
So how do you know whether the sources that you utilize to get news are trustworthy? How do you know that what you're consuming is fact?
You do more research.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Honestly, most of the time I'll read something and then I'll go to Google and I'll Google it and I'll see what else is out there about the exact same topic and see if everyone's saying it or if just one person saying it, you know? And I think a lot of people our age do that, honestly. Like I've never really thought about the fact that I do that, but yeah, I fact check all the time. I never just read an article and be like, wow, that's crazy. Can't believe that happened. And then go tell everybody. I'm like, I read something and I'm like, and if, especially if it seems a little fishy, I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go look at something, especially with social media. If you're writing, if I see a news article about like a celebrity or a, you know, some sort of public figure may have it. You can go to their social media. You can go to their family social media, you can go.
And Layla makes another cameo. Hi, sweet girl. Okay.
What's wrong?
Okay. We're almost finished. Okay. Chill. It's okay.
She's like right on camera.
It's okay.
It's okay, Bubba. I think she thinks she heard thunder, but it wasn't thunder.
It wasn't thunder, hey. Sweet girl. It's okay.
It wasn't thunder.
Everything's fine. It's okay. It's okay, sweet girl. It's all right. So we were talking about...
But yeah. Fact checking and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've covered enough for today. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
I thought we were going to talk about, like...
What do you want? What? You asked me some questions, okay? But we, this is not the last time we're going to talk. We're gonna do more. I don't want to tire you out, but if you want to talk about something, go
well,
for
no.
it, girlfriend.
Okay, no, you're right. Okay.
We thought we were going to talk about what?
I thought we were going to talk about, like, mental health and spirituality and all of that stuff. That's what I thought. I said no politics, and we talked about politics the entire time.
I'm so sorry.
Like, what?
You just okay.
blindsided me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. Let's talk about mental
health. No, we're going to do it on the next episode of Our Voices Matter Across the Generations.
I love it. Mental health and spirituality.
We'll make that a separate
part
one.
Part 2. Yeah. We'll do that as a separate one. There's so much that we can talk about. So
I'm crying.
Thank you, honey. I love you.
And I love you, too.
Okay.
Most of the time. I'm kidding.
And we love you, too, Layla Bear. Okay. And we love you, too, Layla Bear. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us for this crazy conversation. And Layla is now saying goodbye. Okay. We'll see you next time. Bye.